it's time to start.
If you're listening, sorry, first of all, this is a day late. We're just a day late this week, but we answer to no one, so we can do this as we want. Somewhere Austin White just got really offended that I said that, because he's going to be upset.
That you said we answer to no one?
That, and that it's a day late. And, you know, no one's taking it away from us. Anyways, this is Thomas, and do you have the pleasure of hearing from my wife this week as well, Madison Cox?
But I go by Maddie.
Oh, okay. What if I just learned that right now?
Why did you just introduce me?
I've been calling you Madison for 3 years, and you just now tell me that it's Maddie? I love it.
I just had a question. Like, I know how you and Lee always do your, like, little thing. So when you start the show, mm-hmm. you always, like, talk about something outside in the world. Something that I wanted to ask you was, why do you think that Young Williams Animal Shelter names their animals the weirdest names of all time?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay, for reference, this is somebody's first podcast somewhere. Young Williams is an animal shelter in Knoxville, right outside of the bigger metropolitan area that we live in. It's the bigger place where we rescued our dog.
It's where most people get their animals. So, like, unless it's a purebred, you're going to Young Williams.
Right. So we rescued our beautiful dog, who we have since named Dobby. She did not respond to the name that they gave her. But so, you know, like, her name was fairly normal. It was Angel. That's what they gave her. But we were over there to rescue a cat when we decided to get a dog. Was the cat's name?
The cat's name was Teddy Biscuits.
Yes, Teddy Biscuits. We were on our way.
We walked in the door and we said, "I'm here for Teddy Biscuits." And they said,
"Too late. Biscuits are done."
Teddy Biscuits actually got adopted this morning.
So the heart's broken. And then we decided, let's look at the dogs. I don't know why we decided to do that. I guess it was the Lord telling us there's an angel who needs to be rescued.
I know. It's like a little bit reverse, like how Jesus would name someone. Like, I feel like her Christ name was changed by us.
Yeah, she was called Angel.
She is an angel.
She is. She's very dainty and very kind. But now she is called Dobby. She is Dobby, a male house elf. So anytime we're like, "This is Dobby," they're like, "Oh, he's so pretty." And we're like, that one's on us.
You just don't
honestly
say anything. Yeah. It's just our fault. Yeah, but she is named after the most heroic character of all time.
Yeah. Maddie just finished.
If you disagree, then sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Maddie just finished reading Harry Potter for the first time all the way through. What are your thoughts?
I just miss my friends.
Yeah.
Nothing's the same anymore. Nothing's as joyful. But can we just talk about some of the names that we've seen on the Young Williams website and as we've walked through the shelter?
Yes.
Like, there was one named Stardust.
There was one named, I believe, there was a series of cats they named after a classroom.
Pencil,
stapler.
No.
There was a stapler.
There was not. Its name was probably Staples.
I don't think that's right.
Like, let me just pull it up right now.
Okay. Well, anyways, we are proponents of Young Williams because we got our dog from there, and she's fantastic.
But where do they get these names from?
I think they looked around their desk and thought, this person, this animal, if it gets adopted.
Priscilla, Thor, Beautiful Bella, okay. Bella Boop, Bosco, Jethro.
Bosco was a name on Bluey the other day, so maybe that's like a common dog name.
Cusco, Tiramisu.
Okay.
Canteen, Liberty.
Tubby looked up when you said canteen.
Wait a second. This one's called Nightman. Nightman.
That can't be good. He needs his own theme song.
Tide, like the laundry detergent.
Okay.
Staple. There is a literal dog right
Staple.
Now. His name is Staple. Dolly.
Dobby is offended on behalf of her friends. Look at her. She's
Dolly,
like,
Llama is on here. Squidward. Patrick Starr. SpongeBob.
Probably all taken in at once.
Toffee Cake. Elton. Rainbow. Sarolita Pirouette.
So just to be clear, these are animals.
Wolfgang Puck.
That's pretty funny.
Dole Whip.
That's pretty funny.
Sourdough. Cinnamon roll. Like, it's like whatever they're thinking that day. Like, if you just had breakfast. I think
it's whatever was in front of them at the moment. That's what they named it after.
Right, right. Popsicle. Banjo. Tricks. Yeah.
Yep.
So it's just things like that. I just don't understand. But
common household items, like a banjo.
It's really funny.
You know, everyone's favorite poster of the great American chef, Wolfgang Puck.
But how many... Hey, people, no offense, no shade to anyone who's kept their pet's Young Williams name, but how many people do you think keep the name that was given by Young Williams?
Well, we know two dogs that were adopted from there, and they are 0 for 0 on keeping
what
their
was
names.
Finn's name, Jeremiah?
Jeremiah, yeah, which I kind of think's cool. Finn's definitely cooler.
Jeremiah!
I'm very
what
pro...
What was the other dog?
Those are the... Dobby. Those are the only two... I mean, like, I'm very pro naming pets human names that don't belong. I think it's
cool.
Yeah,
like Larry.
Yeah. Like, if Dobby's name was Larry, it'd be pretty sick. But she, like, has earned the name Dobby. She's a champ.
Yeah.
We enjoy our dog. Folks, if you want to see a picture of our dog, follow
also,
my wife on Instagram.
If you have ever adopted a dog or cat from Young Williams and you know, you remember its previous name, let us know what that was.
Yeah. We're going to do the show today. We're going to do it. I've never been in this position. Usually Lee is trying to steer me back towards the Bible. So here we are. So do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I do not care.
Okay. I'll start.
Okay.
It doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
You're just used to it. You always start.
Go ahead and start. You start.
That's fine.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Where are you taking us?
Well, I realized that we're both reading from Mark this week.
Mm. What was your exact quote about it?
I don't remember.
Maddie was nervous that people would be upset if we both did it from Mark. But we're going to.
The thing is, we didn't speak about this beforehand.
We did not, which is very true to ancient and new form.
I didn't know, honestly, which is probably like, we could probably like catch up more often on what... We're reading because I didn't know you were reading in Mark this week.
Yeah, that's on me.
So, yeah. I'm reading in Mark, and I actually started reading in Mark like a few weeks ago, kind of preparing for Young Life Camp because we're going to Sharp Top with a bunch of high schoolers next week. And I know that Mark is kind of like I know that like one of the themes behind it is just how Jesus is a servant to the people he loves and just everybody. And I wanted to kind of get in that posture and that mindset and just kind of figure out and remember how he treated people and how he lived. And because I know that we're about to live a week of just complete servitude. And so it's really fun. It's been really sweet to read that the past few weeks, but something that I've been stuck on is like the whole time I've been reading Mark is I keep going back to Mark 2, which is funny because like growing up like in Young Life and stuff, just in church, I feel like this story is so popular, but it is cool. Like I feel like Jesus has pointed out two really big things to me that like just matter to my life right now. And so I just wanted to read it, but it's just from Mark 2, and it's the verse, it's right at the beginning, and so it says, and I'm going to read from the Message. Lee was talking about that last week. I really like...
Bring it on.
Sometimes I just go to that translation to get a different viewpoint of how it sounds.
Yeah, one time someone said something really stupid to me, and they said how watered down the Message is, and I was like, that's dumb.
Well...
If you like understanding things, I don't know why you would.
Right.
Yeah.
This translation's really cool because, and it's the thing that I've like been holding on to, like for my own life and just in ministry recently. It says, it's about the paraplegic. It says, after a few days, Jesus returned to Capernaum and word got around that he was back home. A crowd gathered jamming the entrance so no one could get in or out. He was teaching the word. They brought a paraplegic to him, carried by four men. When they weren't able to get in because of the crowd, they removed part of the roof and lowered the paraplegic on his stretcher. Impressed by their bold belief, Jesus said to the paraplegic, "Son, I forgive your sins." And so the two things that I've been like thinking about a lot from that are just the way like this guy's friends loved him enough. Like they knew he wasn't okay. They knew he was like, what, like obviously life wasn't going great for him. He's being carried by a stretcher. And so I just like, it really put into perspective, like we've actually started this kind of like little small group thing with some girls my age, like give or take 10 years, like give 10 years, not take, because that would be like, what, like 15-year-olds, yeah. Which I do that as well. But yeah, this has been like a small group for my like heart and to fill me up. And I just think about like how much his friends loved him and that they would remove part of the roof to get him in front of Jesus. And I just like, it kind of like smacked me in the face a little bit. Like, I feel like Jesus has said to me, like, if your friends don't know you well enough to like get, like to pray for you and like know what's going on in your life, like something might not be like, I don't know, like you're just living like a surface level life almost. And I feel like I want friends like this. Like I want my friends to know if I'm not doing okay. And I would love to believe, and I know I do, like have friends that would literally rip a hole through the roof to get me in front of Jesus. And just, and cool. I guess like in this time, like obviously like that's not happening now because Jesus is in heaven, but like to pray for me, like to just make time and like really believe that it matters, like what's going on in my life, and to care about me that much, that they would know what's going on, that they would know if I'm not okay, if there's something in my life that sucks, like that they would move their lives around and carry me to the feet of Jesus. Like I feel like friendship and community like that matters, and I feel like that's been something that I want, like you say this a lot, and it's something that's like in the back of my mind. Like if you're having a conversation with someone, like don't grab the low-hanging fruit. Like I want to sit in front of someone. I want to sit in front of my friends and have like deep, real friendship and say like, what's actually going on? Like, are you okay? And I would hope that we would have a relationship to where they could say like, and I could say like, actually, no, like I really need you to bring me to the feet of Jesus, like by praying for me. And so that was really cool. And then the other thing that I've like, that's stuck out to me a lot is when it says, and this is why I like the Message translation, it says, impressed by their bold belief, Jesus forgave his sins. Like he was just impressed by their bold belief. And I feel like I want to have that. Like, I feel like I want to have like bold belief in something that like, I think of the lady who like barely reached out and like touched Jesus's cloak. And it was like, she really like believed that. Like she really believed that Jesus was the thing, like the thing and the person that was what she needed to change her life. And I feel like I want that. I want bold belief. Like if it's something that's like in my family, that's not gone right for like ever, like that I would still have a bold belief that Jesus and only Jesus would be the one to enter in and to fix that. And so I don't know like what that is in other people's life right now, but I know that Jesus cares, that I believe in that, like that I believe still that he wants to be a part of that and fix that for me. So that's mine.
That's super cool. I'm immediately reminded of a time when, I don't remember what was going on in my life. It's probably just drama. I'm prone to that at times. So it was probably whatever I was feeling, it was probably not as big of a deal as what I was making it. But it was a time I was at a prayer service, whatever you want to call it. It was the time when we had gathered at church, and it was specifically like, hey, we're just going to pray for an hour. And I was having a hard time, whatever it was. And I remember going and If you hear something, Dobby is currently sniffing the microphone. I remember going and not, like, I didn't speak the whole time. I didn't open my mouth. There was probably 15 people there. So it was, you know, like, and I've gone often and it was pretty, I regularly would pray multiple times. Like, it, you know, and I just didn't have it. I didn't have it in me. I wasn't feeling great. I was having a hard time. And I remember Lee, who, if you listen to the show, not literally, but like figuratively, like scooped me up, prayed for the thing I was going through. And I left there encouraged. And I remember texting him saying, "Hey, I couldn't do it. And you did it for me. I'm so thankful." And there has been so many times in my life where that has been a thing where someone has like caught me off guard and texted me and said, "Hey, what can I be praying about right now?" My friend, our friend Corey, who lives in Arkansas or Missouri, we were just talking about Arkansas the other day on the phone. We'll call each other, I don't know, every month maybe. And just, I mean, we'll chat for 5-10 minutes. And he leaves every phone call with me by either saying, "Hey, I'm praying for you and Maddie," or, "What can I be praying for you all?" And I am always just like, man, I didn't call you for that, but I should have. We like, I called to see how you're doing and to hear what's going on in your life. And, or you called me for the exact same purpose, but like I could have at any point just called you and said, "Hey, I need you to pray for me." And it is so essential to like who I am as a person, to know that there are people around me who would do that at any time. And just the knowing of that, like knowing that I have people who will do that, knowing that I have people who are a text or a call away from saying like, or like rolling over in bed away, AKA you, and saying like, "Hey, I need this right now. Like I don't have the words to do it / like, I just need to know other people are praying for this as well." And like, I love the way you worded that, just to get me physically to the feet of Jesus. That's such a cool visual thing I can take throughout my week. Thank you for that.
I want to say one more thing too. Like when, please, you said that Corey asks you how you're doing and like what you can pray for, I feel like it's so easy to like, especially like I was talking to one of my Young Life girls about this and she's actually in college now. Like it's harder. I feel like it gets harder and harder to be vulnerable as you get older. I don't know why. Like, I don't know if it's because we get jobs in like the secular world and we just get immersed in like our like day-to-day lives, but what a miss it would be for like, which I know that you did tell him the truth, but like I feel like it's so easy, like if someone's like, "How are you?" and you're like, "I'm good," like I feel like it's easy to do that because it's so like, I mean, it is, it's vulnerable to say like, "Actually, I'm not doing okay," or like to like say the thing, like, I feel like this is like me in small group, or like when I sit in a Bible study with high school girls, like, you know, there's something like really deep, like really, you know what's going on with them, but you, like they kind of go for that low hanging fruit. Like it's easy to go for the low hanging fruit sometime and be like, "Actually, like work's just busy," or like, "I'm just busy," you know? And it's like, but there really is that thing in you that's not okay. Like, actually, like,
school's hard, tests are hard, whatever, you know, it's like, that's true.
And in the adult world, it's like work is hard, or I'm tired, you know, like it's so easy to just say the thing and like try to move on and not like not tell people how it's actually going. And I feel like the second I get the courage to say it, like to watch my friends like carry me and accept me and pray for me and like encourage me, it's just like, from now on, I want to just be honest about the real thing.
Yeah.
That's going on.
Yeah. There's a really cool place. I think we're kind of scooping up the place in Galatians 6 where Paul talks about carrying each other's burdens, which I think is really cool. And one thing that you're talking about that I have learned to be true in my life is a lot of times there are things the Lord wants me to face, go through, and I can't get past them until I'm honest about them with somebody. And I'm not even talking about sin. Like I am talking about sin, but also like, just like there are things in my life that if I'm not honest about and share, like I'm just stuck carrying around by myself and I can't do anything with it. And I think you're doing a great job of pulling in that scripture as well. It's a really cool thing that Paul says. And it's like one of our greatest verses to emphasize community, I think. Just the idea of like, hey, it's not your own. It doesn't have to be your own. Like, it is yours, but you can get help with this. You can get help walking through whatever it is you're going through. And in my experience, it is a much quicker return on investment. The easy thing of holding my things close to me and keeping them tight and not wanting to share and not wanting to be vulnerable, the payout is so small. The hard thing of like, I'm going to invest all this stuff I have, I'm just going to invest it and dump it into other people and get them to help me. The payout and the reward for that, is so great. I don't know.
And if you don't have that in your life, I know I've lived through seasons where I just didn't have friends like this. And it's if you don't, you should.
Yeah.
It's just so important to have friends that you can be real with. And I don't know. It's just important to seek it out and to ask for it. And I just think it's important to find it.
Yeah.
So that's all.
I purposely didn't address the part you ended with.
Okay.
Because I'm going to skip that up and go with it. Because it's not just Mark 2. It's also Mark 4, Mark 5. And I'm looking at NIV, which is... So the thing you pointed out was so cool. It said that... What was the Messages translation?
Impressed by their bold belief.
Impressed by their bold belief. So my translation is... When Jesus saw their faith, he said, the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. But I like the impressed by their bold belief. And there's the place in Mark 4 where Jesus is sleeping in the boat and they're getting tossed about whatever they're going to sink. And he's like, hey, do you still not have any faith? And there's the really cool place in Mark chapter 5, I think it's verse 34, where it talks about how Jesus was impressed by the woman's faith, who you talked about that as well, who she's fighting her way through the crowd and is like, hey, I'm just going to give it everything I have, just to touch his cloak. And it was just in reading those things, 3 days in a row, Mark 2, Mark 3 and 4, Mark 5, and catching the word faith over and over and over again. And it said over and over and over again. It's literally only 3 times. And it doesn't show up again, I think, until Mark 10 or 11. I was looking it up earlier. But it felt like the Lord was I don't know. In my life, I was like, wow, this seems important. And it is. I'm realizing, in reading this, how important faith is. Jesus was impressed by these guys' faith. And it says he saw their faith. And he it led to him forgiving that guy's sins, which I think is incredible. And I'm realizing there people's faith in these places that I'm talking about has come up in ways that is I am risking it all I'm throwing it all out there. You are it. I'm putting all of it in you. It is you. And I was kind of wrestling with the idea of cause there's, if you're okay, you're talking about faith so cavalier, I get it. It's a big Christian word. We're supposed to have it. Hebrews 11.
Faith, hope, love.
Yeah. Faith, hope, love.
All the things in your grandma's house.
Yeah. There you go. If you're from the South, it's somewhere in your house, the word faith, it's along with hope, along with love. If you're what is faith, Hebrews 11 is really cool and talks about it. But the first verse of Hebrews 11 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And it was kind of bothering me this week that I was wait a second, these people are having faith in Jesus and he is there. They are watching it happen. And I'm I'm here 2,000 years later. Are we in the same playing field? And I was talking about it with a friend and he was yeah, they had to believe that he was who he said he was. In a time where they would have been persecuted for it. And super much they had faith. And I'm just I don't want to like, I think like for lack of a better phrase, when I'm thinking about faith in my life, I don't want to waver from the fundamentals. Like I know we're laughing about faith, hope, and love, but like, I don't want to like stray too far from the idea of like how needy I am for Jesus. Like I may not be on a mat right now and giving it my last shot by having like my friends, or like even if he didn't know, like his friends just carried him to that place. I may not, obviously I'm not like this woman who was having a terrible time for over a decade. But like just because I am getting in my car and going to work, or like you know, going to do whatever with my friends this weekend or whatever, fill in the blank, like whatever your normal day is, like you still super need Jesus, and we super don't need to stray from like the idea of like having faith in him. And like, I don't know. I think I'm marked by their faith and their desperation. And then there's a place in Mark 4 where it's like, hey, do you guys, you still don't have it? Like what's going on? Like you've been around me for a while. Where's it at? And, I don't know. I felt like I'm like pushing myself to say like, okay, where is it? Are you like in a hard time? Is Jesus your first call? Like, is he the first person you're talking to? When things are shaky, when like, things aren't going the way you thought they were going to, when you thought you had it all figured out, whatever, like fill in the blank there. Like when emotions are high, when feelings are all over the place, whatever, like it is like, are you like, I'm talking to myself, like, is my faith still there? Or does it go out the window and like, I am trying to do it all by myself? And I don't know. I feel like I'm like poking that in my life this week.
Yeah. I feel like it's like, that was my, like, as you were talking, I was like, how many things in my life have I like kind of put on the back burner almost because I just don't have the faith, honestly, that like Jesus can fix it, like, which is really sad. You know, like, it's sad when you kind of give up on it. Like, I don't, like, I think it's really cool as he's impressed and he notices and he loves that about his friends and his followers, that they believe him. Like, if he says he's going to do something, or he can do something, or he wants to do something, like, I don't, was it the leper that said, like, if you can, I know you can, like, I know you can if you want to, like, yeah. I know you can if you want to heal me. And like, I know we are in a much better position because Jesus has given us like scripture and the Bible and testimonies of so many people that have said like, Jesus absolutely wants to be a part of this. Like he wants to heal this and he wants to walk me through this and he wants to be my friend in it. And he wants to like weep with me if I'm sad. And it is so easy to like try to fix things on our own or like run to something else that we think can make our life feel better. Whether it's just like distractions or I don't know, like a friendship that's not awesome. You know, like, I don't know. Like it's so easy to cover up our lack of faith with little things throughout, like you said, like our normal work week. And I think that it's really a good reminder of what you said of like, he is impressed by that and he does value that and he wants that. And that's friendship, is to have faith in him. And I want that for my friendship with Jesus. And I want to believe like, and I want to trust and know like, and that is what faith is, like that he wants to be in my corner. So yeah.
That's cool. Cool. This is fun.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. We're at your house.
And yours.
Oh, yeah. We live together.
Our dog, Angel/Dobby.
Angel/Dobby. Look at her. And
she just has perfect ears. The reason we named her Dobby was because of her giant ears.
She's very big ears, and they are very descriptive of whatever's going on in her heart at the moment.
And if anyone needs a therapy dog this week, she's a great therapy dog, unless she doesn't know you. She's a
or you're a
scary
boy with a beard and a hat.
Yeah, bearded hats. That's
because, you know, she was left in a cardboard box in the front porch of Young Women's
she
Animal Shelter.
She can't do beards and hats.
Yeah, but she's getting better.
Like,
she's getting better.
Especially the hats.
But, like, what you're hearing, if you're hearing us say she's going to bite your face off, that's not true. She's just going to like have like a low, like
bark a lot, pee on the floor.
Okay. We need to be nice to her. She can hear us. Look at her.
I'll gladly pee. I mean, not pee. I'll gladly clean up her pee if she needs me to.
There's it. That was it right there. Is that the title? I don't know. Who's to say? Thank you for listening. I am not Lee. I'm Thomas.
And I'm not Lee. I'm Maddie. And are you the, you're the ancient this time and I'm the new because you're older than me.
And this has been Ancient New.
Bye.
Bye. Well, I don't have what it takes. And I know I'm not good enough. So I'm trusting in your grace. Oh, I'm resting on your love. Well, I know that I am weak. And I know that I need help, so I'm begging on my knees. I can't do this by myself. Lord, all I have, Lord, all I need is you right now. Principles for change. Well, I just need you in my life. Oh, I need your power today. 'Cause I know that on my own, my life would be a mess. So don't leave
My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.